You've seen the traditional and Roth contribution options in your 401k, but how do you know which one is right for you? Keep listening. I'm going to explain the difference and show you how to decide. To the pod. This is your host, Barakat Khalili. I'm a currently active SmartVestor Pro from Sacramento, and I serve Ramsey listeners and fans all over the country. From the Bureau of Labor Statistics, the BLS, I got this data point. There are 145 million workers, both private and public sector, both full-time and part-time, but excluding military, federal workers, and some other categories. And out of that 145 million workers, 56% participate in 401k-like plans, which is over 80 million workers. When you break that out among private sector workers, that participation rate is 53%. And among state and local government workers, that participation rate is a staggering 81%. It's pretty high. We also know from Ramsey Solutions and their work, their research on everyday millionaires, that many average millionaires use 401k-like plans to save and invest for retirement. For many of them, it's a significant portion of their net worth as well. So in this episode, you're going to learn about the different tax rules for each type of account. You're going to learn about the implications of those different rules and hear about some factors that you want to consider as you're making your decision. The goal here is to give you the tools so that you can confidently pick the right option. If the 401k is your main vehicle to retirement, I want you to enjoy the ride. So before we dive into that, first I'm going to put on my coach's hat and share a tip and my process for keeping up the momentum on those hard long-term goals. I don't know if this is you, but a lot of people are in a cycle where January is full of excitement, anticipation, and possibility, and December is spent trying to forget the year after experiencing disappointment and regret. We're a quarter of the way through 2024, if you can believe it. Do you remember the resolutions or goals you made back in January? If you've forgotten or given up on them, then this journaling process I'm about to share is for you. You see, you'll find it impossible to stay stuck. You'll have a diagnostic tool that tells you what's getting in your way so you can fix it sooner. And you'll see that as your focus sharpens, as your momentum builds, you'll even exceed your goals and expectations and the timeline that you set for them. In December of 2022, I did my first annual review after I was inspired by seeing someone else go through a similar process. And during this review, the process has you reflect on your wins, your challenges, things you're grateful for, things you want to change, among a host of other things. As I went through that process and reflected on the year, I found patterns and I took lessons from it and jotted them down. In 2023, going into the year, I knew I wanted to do this process again. And I realized that the annual review would be a lot easier if I tracked my progress throughout the year instead of putting it off until December and then doing a cram session at the end of the year. So I created journal prompts that I would use to review the day, the week, the month, and the quarter that just passed. The idea is to record the highlights as they're happening. Then after I created those prompts, I put them in a PDF that I pull out whenever it's time for a review. Come December of 2023, I now have a journal full of relevant notes to review, which is a lot easier than just trying to remember what happened in the year. And this stage of my life, I got baby brain, and there are days where I feel like I'm probably doing a lot more forgetting than remembering. So coming into 2024, I am continuing this process, and I don't see how I'm really ever going to stop, especially as long as I am doing something that's meaningful and satisfying and driven with purpose. You see, experience is necessary for growth. But if you don't reflect on that experience, then you won't see the transformation that you want. Since I've started this practice, I even have a more positive view of New Year's resolutions. Before, I used to kind of poo-poo them along with everybody else. But now I like them a lot more. And I think it's because I'm much more proactive and leaning into my edge and being more deliberate about the type of ideal lifestyle that I want to create for myself. So if you'd like your own copy of the PDF to start this process yourself, head over to leavenormalbehind.life and you can click on the link to the year-long transformation guide. You'll get the PDF that you can download. I'd also recommend buy an old-fashioned journal. I always go to Barnes & Noble. They have these nice leather journals. Get a pen. And when it's time to review, whip those things out and do yourself the favor of going through the actual process of writing this out and as you're thinking about these questions and these prompts. Many of the Ramsey listeners and fans I talk to have a 401k plan with their employer, but no one has walked them through how it works. When you're starting a new job, you're busy learning the new things that you have to do, and the 401k can be an afterthought. But if years go by and you never go back and get familiar with your plan, then you could be leaving thousands of dollars on the table. And you can also be delaying your retirement by several years because you're not really taking advantage of it the way you could. One important decision in this program is picking the right contribution option, traditional or Roth. Some things to keep in mind about making this decision-making process. You always have to pay taxes on income, but the IRS lets you choose when to pay, now or later. You're not choosing between a good option and a bad option. You're deciding which one you would benefit from more than the other. And since your decision will depend on factors that can change from year to year, so your preferred option might change from year to year. Look, you can find lots of articles online about the difference between the traditional and the Roth option, but I want to share some reasons based on what I've seen talking to real people for the last 5 years. These factors, in my opinion, are the ones that most people will find most relevant. First, let's look at three reasons for going with the traditional option. The first is that you get the tax deduction today. When you make that contribution to your 401k plan, that doesn't get counted towards your W-2 income. And this can be especially helpful to offset other sources of taxable income, like an inherited IRA. The second reason is that your income is high right now, and you know and expect to be in a much lower tax bracket later. So say, you know, combined income puts you up in the 37% bracket and you think that you're going to be in the 12 or 22% bracket in retirement. That's going to mean that you're going to be in a lower effective tax rate. And by deferring the taxes today so that you can take them out later at a lower bracket, we call that tax bracket arbitrage. Just because you're retired doesn't mean you miss out on the benefits of a Roth, because later, you do get to convert some of those traditional dollars, if you want, into Roth dollars from year to year gradually in a tax-efficient way. Finally, the third reason for going with the traditional route that I think is really most impactful is that you're close to retirement. You're, say, less than 5 years out. And the short-term benefit of getting that tax deduction today outweighs the long-term benefit of a Roth. Because, again, the Roth grows tax-free. And so that makes it a much better option when we're looking, say, 10, 15, 20 years out into the future, when that investment is going to compound and grow at an exponential rate. So those are a few of the reasons for going with the traditional option. Here are three reasons to go with the Roth option. Reason number one that I think is really impactful is that it gives you greater control over your tax planning. Going with the Roth, putting the money in that Roth option, means that you're taking taxes off the table in your retirement planning when you're going to be on a fixed income. So you no longer have to worry about that as part of the picture. The second reason for going with a Roth is that you're investing a lot today. You're putting a lot into those Roth accounts, which means that you're going to have even more in retirement. Because if you're in a good diversified portfolio that's growth oriented, that's going to compound and grow exponentially. If that money is growing exponentially in a traditional account, later on, at some point in your 70s, you're going to have what are called required minimum distributions, or RMDs. And when you have to start taking money out of that really big nest egg, that's going to push your income up, which means it's going to push your taxes up, and you're going to be paying income tax rates. It's going to push your Social Security income down because it's going to make more of your Social Security income taxable. And if you have enough, it can even potentially push you over the threshold where it introduces new Medicare taxes that you get hit with. The third reason for going with a Roth has to do with your legacy. One thing to keep in mind from an estate planning perspective is that when your kids inherit your tax-deferred money in the traditional bucket, they will also have to pay taxes on it when they get it. When they inherit money from a Roth account, you don't have to worry about that, because not only you've already taken the taxes off the table with the IRS, and so you can pass that money on to your kids and your grandkids tax-free. So those are some of the reasons for going with the Roth as well as going with the traditional. Now that you know what those differences are, it's important now to look at some of those considerations, and this is going to lead into the action items that I want to give you. This podcast is all about helping you take action and see results. Based on what we covered, you'll want to walk through some questions to help you determine the better options for you. For example, what's your current income? Where is it headed over the next 5 years? What's your current tax bracket? And where's that headed over the next 5 years? How much do you contribute to your retirement accounts every year? How much will be in your portfolio at the time that you retire, using a conservative estimate? How close are you to retirement in terms of years? How much do you want to leave your kids and your heirs? These questions and others will help make for a great conversation with a financial professional who's working with you through these questions to help you make the right decision for you. So there's one caveat to this. Even if you get this decision right, it will do you no good without the other important pieces of your financial plan. You see, you don't want to spend time making the right decision here only to make a bigger mistake elsewhere in your finances, undoing all your good work. I talk about it back in episode 1 in more detail. You can also download a PDF copy of that 5-point money roadmap checklist that I put together for you at leavenormalbehind.life. Again, I'm grateful for your time and attention. This is Barry Kekalili, signing off.
Discussions in this podcast should not be construed as specific recommendations or investment advice. Always consult with your investment professional before making important investment decisions. Securities offered through Cambridge Investment Research, Inc., a registered broker-dealer, member FINRA SIPC. Advisory services offered through Cambridge Investment Research Advisors, Inc., a registered investment advisor. Cambridge and SmartPro Financial are not affiliated.